Great to have you with us this morning on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, just a few minutes away, guitarist James Burton, who's influenced many rock and country musicians. He's played with Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, on many of Phil Spector's records, and with Elvis Costello and Elvis Presley. Quite the career. Guitarist James Burton with Terry coming up at noon. By the Huntington Library Art Collection, Botanical Gardens in San Marino, this week kicks off its centennial celebration. 100 years ago last Friday, the trust was signed and created by the Huntingtons, establishing this magnificent property as a public resource. The public could come in, spend time in the gardens, tour the collections, spend time in the library, and of course, researchers from around the world could come into those stacks and spend time all but moving into the Huntington to do the research. So when you think of the progeny of the Huntington Library itself, it is in thousands of volumes on just an extraordinary range of topics. To talk with us about the history as well as future of the Huntington, president of the Huntington Library Art Collections and Botanical Gardens, Karen Lawrence. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a great pleasure.
So you're just celebrating your first year leading the Huntington. You were at Sarah Lawrence as president of the college. But before that, here in Southern California, heading the School of Humanities at UC Irvine.
Yes. So I'm familiar with both the California landscape and the East Coast, and have been thrilled to be back and just completed my first year at the Huntington.
Congratulations on that. Let's talk about, for those that aren't familiar with the Huntington and its origin story, how did Henry and Annabella Huntington decide they were going to create this publicly available place from what had been their estate?
Well, Henry was most proud of his private library collection, which was reported at the time of 1919 to be the best private library collection in the world. But it was private. These were private treasures of both of those. And Arabella Huntington was an art collector and very savvy art collector. And they were thinking about their legacy. But it was also partners like George Ellery Hale, who was the founding director of the Wilson Observatory and involved with Caltech. So people helped to talk to them, particularly Hale, about what it would mean to leave this to the public. And over a series of correspondences and time, they decided that they would leave to the public for the benefit of mankind this incredible resource, which included the private library, but also an art collection and beautiful grounds and gardens.
Now, they spent several months a year in Europe, as I recall, in France.
They did.
And is that where a lot of the art was purchased and then shipped to the U.S.?
They had art collectors looking for them and book collectors looking for them. But yes, they split their time among Europe and the East Coast. Arabella loved New York, and Henry in California developing his business interests. But
speaking of which, were extensive,
were
particularly
extensive
in transportation and real estate.
In transportation, and he was a very successful industrialist and collector. But when he shipped his collection from New York to California, it was newsworthy. I mean, this was a big deal that this patrimony of American and British history, literature, art was shipped to California. It was really, it made news and was concerning to some people in New York that this would become the nucleus for Huntington's estate and for this incredible collection.
We're talking with the president of the Huntington in San Marino, Karen Lawrence, with us. If you want to talk about the Huntington's history, about its future areas of the library or the art collection or the gardens that you particularly enjoy, or even suggestions as it moves forward, Huntington coming off major renovations, particularly the entrance of the Huntington in recent years, always new projects that are going on. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, a chance for you to talk about the Huntington. You know, we have seen dramatic change in Southern California to where we are a majority minority population now. And Latino culture and history, very important, various Asian cultures as well. How does the Huntington adapt to that, to what has been a largely Eurocentric institution?
Yeah, great question. And a number of ways. First, the incredible Chinese garden that is now in its completion phase and will be 12 acres of a wonderful Chinese garden that is the largest and really closest to what Chinese gardens are in China of any outside of China itself. We're completing that phase. And it's involved the Asian American community, particularly the Chinese American community. The Huntington has a collection of gardens, many of them are very diverse gardens themselves. Like the Desert Garden has incredible botanical diversity and biodiversity. The Chinese Garden has buildings, and when we complete it, it will include a celebration court, an art exhibit hall, resources for the public to enjoy. So we've really involved the community in that as well. Our collections, which have been known for Eurocentric, for British art and library collections, are now being activated. And we are doing that through partnerships with arts organizations that are bringing younger and more diverse artists and audiences. So, for example, we're doing a partnership with Clock Shop in L.A., and we're having artists and writers come to use our collection, a 16th century book by Thomas More, Utopia, is the fulcrum for artists and writers to come and talk about what Utopia means today. So the Centennial is really looking forward to how to animate and use the collection. This is not just a series of archaic materials. It's really about how you see the human experience through the lens of our three extraordinary collections, and how contemporary scholars, writers, artists, school children really learn from that.
And one of the things that I think the Huntington does extremely well are the historical exhibitions, bringing materials from the library as well as current scholarship in the area is telling the story, whether it's California history or the West, or and that, of course, brings all kinds of different voices into the picture, given that Southern California has been a pretty diverse place going back centuries.
We have a wonderful collection on California and the West, but the major exhibition that's going to launch our centennial in September 1919 is a look at that 1 year of the founding of the Huntington with specimens and objects from our entire three collections. And it's really to place their founding and the creation of the Huntington Institution in a larger regional and global context. There's lots of surprising materials, posters, labor union materials, strike materials, all sorts of sociological and very interesting maps that we are showing, all to bring to bear a way of thinking about that one tumultuous year after the war ended, with the Huntington as a kind of gilded age beautiful institution, but how it was really connected to the social context that surrounded it.
We'll continue our conversation with the president of the Huntington Library Art Collections and Botanical Gardens in San Marino. She, by the way, is a literature scholar of English, Irish literature, former president of Sarah Lawrence College, former dean of the College of Humanities at UC Irvine, Karen Lawrence. We'll be back at take your calls as well at 866-893-KPCC. Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. The Huntington is celebrating its centennial. The events kick off this week in San Marino. Karen Lawrence, the president of the Huntington Library Art Collections and Botanical Gardens, joins us. You know, one other extraordinary resource of the Huntington, and you see it in so many of their exhibitions, is Jennifer Watt's photography collection. Just absolutely extraordinary, and some of the exhibitions that she and staff or guest curators put together, truly remarkable at the Huntington. We're at 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. I didn't realize there's an inner vault at the Huntington. This sounds fascinating. What is that like?
The inner vault, which is inner and people don't get to see it, the public doesn't have access to it, is really to preserve some of our rarest items. So it really is the first duty of care of a collections and an institution like ours is preserving. So in that inner vault, we have one of two existing copies of something called the Bad Quarto of Hamlet, which is a version from 1603 that most people don't associate with Hamlet. But the only other version is in, the only other copy is in the British Library. So for our centennial, we are bringing out for the public during the year-long celebration the bad quarto to animate it. We're actually not bringing out the actual copy, which is too fragile.
It'd be too fragile to expose to the
but
light.
We're really going to show people about it. So the independent, the LA Independent Shakespeare Company is coming to do some readings from the Bad Quarto. A scholar is coming to do a lecture on the provenance of the Bad Quarto, where it came from, what's its relation to the Hamlet that we all know. So the centennial is really about activating even the rarest materials in the Huntington's collections and showing how they're relevant and exciting today.
Marion North Hollywood says, I can't afford to pay the admission fee to visit the Huntington. And she's wondering about, you know, maybe more free days. You do have free days currently, but any thought to adding additional ones?
We do have free day once a month. And actually, the launch of the centennial, there's a press event on this Thursday, but it also, the launch coincides with free day because we are very dedicated to having the public come. We have 750,000 visitors a year.
And free day, it seems like half of those are there in one
yes,
day.
It is more,
crowd.
It is more crowded, but it's a very important part of what we do. Over the centennial, we're giving away 100 free memberships to college-age kids. That probably doesn't solve your caller's problem or issue. We know that there is a charge to come in during the week and on weekends. But if you think about the 200 acres of the Huntington, the fact that there are three collections, there's so much there to spend the entire day between the library and art and botanical. And that's an upkeep that really is something that we are dedicated to keeping it for generations.
Do you know off the top of your head what percentage of the total operating expenses of the Huntington are covered through admissions?
That's a good question, and I should.
I was just curious what it is. But
obviously it's essential to be able to, you can't just do it with the major gifts that are also critical.
Right. So we do, we fundraise, we really try to keep the price down through fundraising and through support, which we've had amazing community support over the years. But admission is absolutely a key piece of that.
You were mentioning how much of the programming and the gardens are oriented toward expanding the diversity of the attendees at the Huntington. But I also wonder about efforts to reach out to, you know, younger people and bringing in, you know, kids and the like. You do run a summer program for kids.
My
son did that program.
Explorers Camp.
Or 3 years. He was in the camp at the Huntington and loved it.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other ways you're reaching out to younger people?
Well, the school programs and partnerships have been a seminal part of our mission, which is research and education. And the LAUSD schools have send classes, and we have different programs, and we sponsor classes for the kids. And then their families can check out from the library at these schools a pass to come back to the Huntington. So we're really trying to have the school kids who come, whose parents may not have been at the Huntington, be able to come for free during the time when the program is involved with the Huntington. We're really looking at families as well as individual students to be able to do that. And the programming, I mean, I think our programming is dedicated to being to bringing broad and new audiences, youth, but also others. We have an exhibit coming up that is based on Hilton Owls series, and we have Lynette Yadam-Bwache, who is a contemporary British artist who is using the iconic portraits in our portrait gallery, 18th century portraits, and really making use of that in her own work, and will display her work next to that. So it's all sorts of ways of making people rethink the British tradition, the American tradition, in terms of much more diversity, and it'll change people's view of what British art portraiture is.
Now, Hilton Owls, you mentioned the New Yorker theater critic.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And by the way, we got the answer. The breakdown for the Huntington on its revenue, about 27% of the budget comes from ticket sales. 45% is from the income of the endowment that it throws off, 28% from contributions. So that gives you a general breakdown. So more than a quarter of the revenue comes in from ticket sales.
Thank you, Larry. Next time I'll have that down cold.
Yeah, I didn't mean to blindside you. All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it having you with us, Karen Lawrence, president of the Huntington.
Thank you.
The Huntington Library Art Collections and Botanical Gardens in San Marino. This week, it begins a year-long celebration of its centennial. And the extraordinary start is Henry and Arabella Huntington, essentially donating the library for public uses. Have a great afternoon from all of us at AirTalk.